Melody, an artist can choose out of so many mediums on what they want to work with. You chose pastels. Why is that?
Well, I've always been drawn to the look of pastels. I love and admire the work of Degas and Mary Cassatt. And so I had a little taste of that when I was in college, but not too much. So I wanted to explore it some more. And so I took some classes at the KIA and did enjoy it and just continued working with them.
Do you come from a family of artists, or did anybody in your immediate circle influence you, or you're a groundbreaker?
I guess I'm kind of a groundbreaker, yes. I don't have any artists in my family, although my dad was somewhat creative. He was always, you know, doing little carvings and that type of thing, but no professional artists.
Tell us a little bit more about your journey as an artist. You took these classes, but there's got to be a line of development. I always think of art as a lifelong pursuit.
I started out as a graphic designer in the advertising field, and that was in the 80s. And at that time, everything was done by hand rather than on the computer. In the early 90s, when I started family, I decided to stay home for a couple of years to be home full-time with the kids. And at that time, the field switched over to, things being done on the computer. And so when I wanted to go back to work, I decided I did not want to sit behind a computer.
It's a whole different world then, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to, work with my hands more. So actually what I started to do was to teach children's classes at the KIA. So I've taught various programs over the years, and I'm still there.
Ah, and children, not adults?
Well, I just started teaching an adult pastel class for the first time last summer, and I'll be teaching it again this spring semester and summer semester as well. Teaching a children's program called Art Lab, which used to be called the Artist Program, and it is for elementary school kids. They'll come in for a morning to the KIA, and they will spend an hour in the galleries with a docent, and then they'll spend an hour in the classroom doing an art project. The projects that we come up with focus on either a current exhibition or perhaps a piece in the permanent collection.
You know, I'm fascinated with what you said about the graphic artist having a whole different way, different tools that you work with. My father was a graphic artist, and I saw that he retired at the point that the computers came in. And as a child, I grew up seeing Dad's artwork on a milk carton or a cookie wrapper in the store, and I was able to recognize it because it was an individual artist's work. And so I kind of grieve that. Have you loosened up on that at all at home on your own laptop? Or?
Well, yes. I kind of regret not having gone back and trained because I found out that I do use the computer a lot and designing, postcards to promote my shows and that type of thing.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, I had to go into it kicking and screaming, but
but then it wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's a lesson to me or Dad. So what other kind of influences do you have? And in influences, not just artists you named Cassatt and Degas, but perhaps like cats or botanicals or something like that. What do you look at and say, I've got to capture that?
Kind of a variety of things, but a lot of the times it's not so much the subject or the object, it's the lighting. You know, whether it's a landscape and it could be soft morning light sifting through trees, or it could be bright sunlight that's casting interesting shadows, or it could be, common everyday objects for a still life, but again, it would be, interesting lighting that's going to create an interesting composition.
Oh, you're right. Light is everything. I enjoy photography, and I have looked at the same scene in different times of day or night, and it completely changes. And something that is unremarkable, you get this shaft of light or a certain, the golden hour at the end of the day
right.
is my favorite.
Right.
And all of a sudden it comes to life. So same thing with pastels.
Yes.
Are pastels easier to work with because it is a dry material rather than paint? Do you find it's more forgiving?
Well, it is. It is very forgiving. And it's easier in the sense that it's very immediate. So it's you don't have to mix paints ahead of time. You don't have to let layers dry before you apply the next layer. So, yeah, in that sense, it's easier. You can, you know, start and stop working a lot easier.
Did you draw on the sidewalk with chalk as a kid?
yeah, a little bit. I do want to say, though, that one misconception about pastels is that they are chalks, and they
Good
really
point.
Are not. They're it's actually powdered pigments that are held together with a little bit of binder, you know, to put
so
them into...
So it lasts longer?
Well, to put them into a stick form.
Okay.
But there's really little or no chalk in pastels.
I imagine it must be similar to like charcoal drawings where you probably have to spray something on it at the, when you're done so that it doesn't get smeared.
You can, and some artists do and some artists don't. Some artists claim that putting a fixative on at the end kind of flattens out the little particles of pastel and or it changes the color somewhat. I tend not to use it just because it's so toxic. You really have to go outside and spray it. If it's in the middle of the winter, I really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And some of the papers tend to hold the pastel better, so I don't find it as necessary. But also you can spray between layers, like if you're, the tooth of your paper is starting to get filled up with the pastel and it's not taking as much as you want it to, you can spray it and then it kind of gives you some more tooth back that you can add more layers.
Do you work exclusively in pastels? Do you ever do a charcoal drawing or paint or anything else?
Not usually, no, at least not to show
so that's
or sell.
Your thing. Yeah. Where can we see or buy your work?
Well, I'm going to have my work hung at Friendship Village in May and June. That will be not brand new work. It's going to be a variety of, you know, pieces of different years. I'm currently working on some pieces for two group shows that I'm going to be in.
Mm.
And one is the Great Lakes Pastel Society, which I'm a member of. And it has a juried show every year. And so I'm going to enter that and hopefully get in. Then I'm also going to be in a group show that's going to be at the Carnegie in Three Rivers in June. And that's going to have a water theme, and it's called Reflecting on Water. But it will be different media, so, you know, it can be glass, it can be metal, jewelry, and so forth.
Neat.
So that should be really fun and interesting with the water theme in different media.
Water is challenging, like glass, I think. If you're drawing water or glass, something transparent and yet not. And, you know, we think water is what, green or bluish, but I think when an artist probably looks at that, you see 1,000 different colors.
Right, right.
What's the most challenging subject matter for you?
Well, I've never gotten into portraits, and I really don't have any desire to, because I think that it's really difficult to capture a person's personality.
Mm.
So I don't know. That doesn't interest me. But landscapes can be challenging because there's so much detail, and you have to figure out what's important and how to simplify all that detail, but yet give enough detail that it makes sense.
Mm.
So that can be challenging, especially if you're working plein air, which I don't usually do.
I was going to ask about that. Do you go out there and do a plein air or use a photograph or a clipping?
I will do, you know, small sketches,
okay.
Plein air, but But usually I will take photos and take notes and then mm-hmm. work in the studio from the photos and notes.
Do you have favorite places? Are you a Michigan artist, or do you like to travel and capture scenes?
Both, actually. It's always very inspiring when I travel because, you know, when you see new places and scenes that are unfamiliar to you, it's just interesting and inspiring. So, but I also love to do like the Michigan shoreline, the Lake Michigan.
So you are a Michigan artist.
Yeah. So I've done a number of scenes from the shore.
These group shows that you have coming up, or maybe somebody can go on your website and contact you to purchase something. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I don't. My website is not set up for purchasing, but somebody could always contact me and
make an appointment.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Do you have a studio set up at home that's specifically for work, or you're a kitchen table worker?
I do have a small room that I work in. That's my studio. It's not really set up that people can come and visit. It's just very small, and it's off of our bedroom on the second floor. So, but it's nice because it's got windows on three sides, so I feel like I'm kind of in a treehouse,
and windows.
So I love that.
Most important lesson you teach both, and I wonder if that lesson might vary with children or adults. What should an artist learn? And I'm curious too, when people teach art in of any kind, do you find that students either have a gift or it's a craft that they can learn if they keep applying themselves, or some people just are born with it?
I think it's both. It can be both. Yeah, I do think there are some people who are just kind of born with the gift and just comes very naturally. But then others have to work at it. And so I do see both.
And what's the most important lesson? Is it an attitude? Is it an eye for composition?
I think the most important thing is not to be afraid to make mistakes or to fail, but to just keep trying and trying maybe new things or different things, or just keep trying the same thing over and over until you figure it out. Because I've taken a number of workshops from professional artists, pastel artists, and, you know, I keep hearing the same thing. It's like you have to put in the work, you have to create a certain number of pieces, and just don't be afraid to try things and do things that you don't necessarily like or that aren't successful. But that's the way to get to where you need to be or you want to be.
You know, I think that's a lesson for life and not just for the artist. Don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah,
it's the only way to move forward. I heard somebody once say something about the turtle metaphor, that if you don't stick your neck out, you're not going to be able to move forward.
Right.
Do you find that it's the same lesson for children and adults, that they get it?
It depends on the age of the children, because I've taught all ages of kids, and I find that up until about third or fourth grade, they are just totally uninhibited. They aren't afraid. They'll just do things, and, you know, they don't say, oh, this looks terrible. Once you get up to like fifth grade, they say, I can't do this. You know, I don't know how to do this. They're afraid to try. And so it's sad that happens at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the first thing to loosen up. Tell us a little bit more about the Great Lakes Pastel Society. What is that? Where is it located?
Well, it's open to any artist in the Great Lakes states, you know, surrounding this and touching the lake.
So not just Michigan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's an organization that does put on or offer a juried show every year. So one year.
In different locations?
Yes, it's held in different locations. This year it's going to be at the Carnegie.
But it has to be pastels only.
Right, pastels only.
Do you have to show a portfolio or something to join the society?
No,
You just sign up and pay
mm-hmm.
your dues and
right,
you're in.
Right.
Okay.
And so they also offer paint outs, which are, you know, plein air outings that anybody can just show up and you know, paint together outside, and then maybe at the end of the day do, you know, critiques or not. And they have a newsletter that comes out, I think, every 2 months. And that's nice because it will list workshops that you can attend or shows that you can enter. It will interview artists, and it also asks members to submit work. So they'll have a theme for every newsletter, like flowers. And so you could, you know, send in your flower paintings.
Kind of a prompt.
Yeah. And then they'll also do a critique. So if you want to have, you know, a piece critiqued, you can send that in and they'll have somebody do that. So,
well, thank you so much for coming in to talk with us, Melody.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you so much.